Let's go to Proverbs chapter 24. I want to read two verses, and then I want to preach a message entitled, Get Back Up, Get Back Up. Proverbs chapter 24 and verse number 15 and 16. Proverbs 24, verse 15 and 16. Let's all stand for the reading of the Bible. Just these two verses. We'll begin in verse number 15, Proverbs chapter 24. Lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falleth seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. Heavenly Father, I pray, Lord, that you'd help us. Lord, people who are trying to do right, Lord, still need encouragement. And so, Lord, thank you, dear God, for these verses that surely helped me. And, Lord, it was a source of comfort and encouragement to me this week. And sometimes, Lord, you take a personal blessing and turn it into a public message. And so I hope, Lord, that I can pass on that blessing to these good people. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. The Bible talks about the just in this portion of Scripture, and he also talks about the wicked. Verse 15, lay not wait, O wicked man, against the dwelling of the righteous. Spoil not his resting place. For a just man falls seven times and riseth up again, but the wicked shall fall into mischief. And these two verses are connected. I admire any man or woman who gets up every day and tries hard to do the right thing, to do the right thing. These people are referred to in the Bible as the just or the righteous man. By the way, let me say this. These are not perfect people, as we will soon see. These are not sinless people. And these are people who sometimes fail and sometimes fall. But when they fail, they at least do so trying to accomplish something good. And when they fall, this is the message, when they fall, they get back up. Now, you know, as I read this in the context of these two verses, I couldn't help but jot this down. You'd think that everyone would be rooting for the person who's trying to do the right thing. Wouldn't we at Blessed Old Baptist Church see one of our bus teens trying to do the right thing? Wouldn't we be rooting them on? You see a young couple trying to grow in the Lord, trying to raise their kids right, maybe struggling, but trying. Wouldn't we be rooting them on? And I guess that's why this portion of Scripture is so disturbing to me, because the Bible tells us that there are those who are rooting against people who are trying to do right. There are those who are hoping they will fail. Now look at the context there. Not only are they hoping they will fail, they're so pathetic, so miserable, so sad and sick in their thinking that they go beyond hoping the just man will fail. They make it the goal of their lives to contribute to the destruction of a just man. In our text verses, the Bible addresses one of these devilish losers. He calls them, O wicked man. God warns him, lay not wait against the dwelling of the righteous. Now, you know what that means? The dwelling of the righteous, lay not wait against. I mean, they're literally spying on their home. They're literally staking out their residence. They're literally learning their patterns. I mean, they're investing time and effort into trying to derail someone who's trying to do the right thing. It goes on to say, spoil not his resting place. In other words, you know what? I'm going to watch his place. And when he leaves, what I'll do is I'll go in and I'll steal from him. I'll rob him. I'll do whatever I can to discourage him. Again, why aren't you rooting for him? He's trying to do the right thing. Isn't this sad? Imagine someone who has nothing better to do than to be used of the devil to try to derail the righteous. And God warns that it is a dangerous waste of time. If you look at that, this is what the context for the just man rising up. He says it's a dangerous waste of time. You know what? Because even if you succeed in causing the just man to fall, the Bible says your victory will be short-lived, because you know what? Part of being a just man is this. When we fall, we get back up. Because a just man falls seven times and rises up again. So you've plotted and plotted and plotted and worked in weeks and weeks and months, and I tripped him up. And guess what he does? He stands back up, brushes himself off, and goes on anyway. But wait a minute, the verse isn't done there. Look at the end of verse 16. but the wicked shall fall into mischief. In other words, God says this, I'll take the evil that you were trying to put into his life, and I'll turn that around and have it visit your life. So think about that. It's a dangerous thing, and it's a sad thing to see someone. I mean, listen, you might as well leave the just man alone, because you knock him down, he's going to get back up. If you trip him, he's going to stand back up. You push him down, he'll rise again. But be warned, if you spend your life planning mischief against those who are doing right, then God will see to it that you're the one who will fall into mischief. Now, I've said as much as I'm going to say to that crowd. I'm not going to spend my time this morning addressing the wicked. I think most of them are not here today. They are not at home tuned into my live stream at this point. They'll never listen to this sermon, and if they did, there's a good chance they would scorn and scoff at its message. It's just part of being the wicked man. So instead, I want to address all of you. Today's message, I guess, is for them that are trying to do right. Every day, you get up, watch this, you set out to live a just life. I mean, that's your heart's intent. That's your goal. You know, you want to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord. And by the way, I just want to say this. I want to take a minute and just encourage you for doing that and thank you and applaud you and tell you how proud the Lord is that that is the desire of your heart and your life every day to get up and try to please him. But I want to also tell you this. You're not always going to get it right. Okay, you're just not. Neither am I. You're not always going to succeed. And yes, sometimes you'll fail. And yes, sometimes you'll fall. But when you do, part of being a just man is that you get back up. You get back up. You get back up. Seems we begin our lives falling and end our lives falling. Toddlers fall as they struggle to walk. Come on, parents, you watch them. How many times they get up? They get up, balance, try to take that step, bam. And they're trying to do something. They may be falling, but they're trying to accomplish something. They're trying to learn something. They're trying to do something. You kind of go in that way and you kind of go out that way, you know. Come on, senior saints, amen. That's the way it is. Senior saints fall as they fight against age and sickness and weakness, and not because they want to fall. And by the way, if you ask them, most every time they fell, it was because they were trying not to give up. Come on. Because they refused to quit. Because they want to keep on going. You know, they fall, but at least, and that's what I thought. Listen, there's not a person in this room that hasn't fallen. I don't care what age you are. Matter of fact, there's probably some epic stories in this room about times you have fallen. I begin to review my life and my history of falling, and yes, I have a history of it. So do you. The Lord whispered something in my ear that I needed to hear this week, and this is what he said to me. Yes, you've fallen, but every time, every story, you know what? At least you were trying to do something. You know, I find the people that mock the folks that fail are usually the ones that don't try a whole lot. That's why the Bible talks about sitting in the seat of the scornful. You know, the ones that'll mock because a Christian messed up, or maybe they didn't do as well as they hoped to do. And somebody who's not even trying, who's living a wicked life, will sit there and point their finger and cluck their tongue and shake their head and, you know, they can't wait to get on social media and mock the person that failed. Well, you know, you can't control all of that. But you know what, folks, listen to me. If you're falling, or if you fell while you were trying to accomplish something good, amen. You know what? Get back up and finish the job. Just get back up and finish the job. This is why it's important to get back up. Let me help you and encourage you, because some of you may say, preacher, I feel like I'm failing more than I'm succeeding. Sometimes, despite my best interests, my best heart's wish, it just seems like I'm struggling to get one foot in front of the other. And about the time I get on track, I feel like I'm getting knocked down again. Let me just say this. A just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. It's important that you get back up. You get back up. Why is that? Well, let's talk about the just man. Let's look in the book of Proverbs. You see, folks, there's several reasons you ought to get back up when you fall down. Number one, get back up for the sake of the wicked. You say, for the sake of the wicked? Yeah, for the sake of the wicked. Look at Proverbs chapter 29. I'll have you turn. We'll be in mostly Proverbs, I believe. Proverbs chapter 29, verse number 27. Proverbs 29, verse number 27. It's good that I'm very honest about this, and I'm going to, again, I guess, share a little bit about the wicked so that you aren't surprised at their reaction when you fail or when you fall. Proverbs 29, verse 27, 29, 27 says, an unjust man is an abomination to the just. Hey, let's stop right there. You know what? That's King James Holy Bible. This is God's word. You know what? For somebody that's really trying to do right, and they get around somebody that's just determined to do wrong and determined to mock right, excuse me, but you're kind of an abomination to me. I have a hard time being around you. I have a hard time understanding you. After all God done in sending his son, hey, what about his grace? What about his grace? Okay? And you know what? For somebody just to set out their life every day to try to do evil and do wrong and see how much sin they can create and see how much drama they can create and see how much hurt they can create and see how much gossip they can spread and see how many people's, you know, I don't understand you. I spend my life trying to help people. And I just honestly have my head, hard time wrapping my head around somebody who spends their life trying to hurt people. I just don't get it. And so, but an unjust man is an abomination to the just, but you better understand, flip that coin over, read the rest of the verse, and he that is upright in the way is an abomination to the wicked, which means this, if you've decided you're going to live your life for the Lord Jesus Christ and you're going to get up every day and do the best you can to please the Lord, you know what, you're going to think, you would think everybody in your life would applaud you for that, but you know what, you're going to find out not everybody does. Matter of fact, some take great offense to it, as if you have committed a personal abomination against them. How dare you go to church? How dare you try to do right? How dare you be honest? Come on, how dare you be kind? It almost goes against everything in them, and it bothers them. Let me tell you why it bothers them. It brings conviction into their heart. Because they want to convince themselves that everybody's just as rotten as they are. And it bothers them when they get around somebody whose life has been transformed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And they're not like this world anymore. Proverbs 17, if you'll go there, verse number 15. It's good we look at these things because it'll help you to understand. You know, I've watched young people come on the bus, teenagers come on the bus. And man, all of a sudden, you know what? They were a mess at home and they were disobedient at home and they were dishonest at school, and they were running with the wrong crowd, and they were getting into things that were going to destroy their life, and they come to church, and they get saved, and they start getting on a good path, and you think their mom would applaud it, and their dad would applaud it, and grandma and grandpa would be thrilled, and their brothers and sisters would support it. And next thing you know, the entire family caves in on this kid. How dare you try to be something other than what we raised you to be? Now, I'll be honest with you. I don't understand that. As a parent, I always wanted all my kids to be better than me, not as good as me. I wanted them to be better than me. That's why we sacrificed. That's why we did all the things we did. I wanted them to accomplish more than me, not less than me. And if they did that, I'd be the first one praising the Lord and being thankful that they did that. And yet we have so much, I'm telling you, I'm afraid kids are raising kids, so much immaturity in parenting. It's almost like, you know, if their children start actually trying to do right, live right, and be right, it's an offense against the parent. Next thing you know, they're trying to keep them out of church and drag them out of church. And don't you realize the road they were headed on? Don't you realize what Jesus just saved them from? Come on, I know you smoke dope. You really want them to grow up and smoke dope? I know you've got failed marriages. You really want your kid to go up and grow up and have a bunch of failed marriages? Why don't you want better for them? And the place they're going to find better, come on, is in the walls of a good Bible preaching church. That's where they're going to find the better. Hey, mom, why don't you come with her? Come on, dad, why don't you bring all the kids? Why don't you pour gas on that fire? Why don't you encourage them to do the right thing? Why don't you brag on them? Why don't you tell them how proud you are of them? But it's sadly, look at Proverbs 17, verse 15. He that justifieth the wicked, isn't this crazy? He that justifieth the wicked and condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. Isn't it interesting? Proverbs 29, we saw the word abomination twice. We see it again here. An unjust man's an abomination to the just. Sorry, but if you're just bent towards wickedness and bent towards hurting people and bent against God and bent against his word, yeah, I'm sorry, you're kind of an abomination to me. You bug me. And I'll pray that you get saved. I'll witness to you. If you need help, I'll help you. But you still bug me. Okay? But you know what? The way we live bugs them. Okay? Now, again, I'm not talking about anybody being perfect. None of us is perfect. And then it says in verse 15, he that justifieth the wicked. This is another thing that bothers me. So, and apparently it bothers the Lord, so he put it in his Bible. But I hear people that'll brag on the kid, one of their kids that aren't doing right, and then condemn one of their kids that are trying to do right. Okay, that's insanity. I will hear them brag on a friend that's living a godless, wicked life, and then talk down a friend that's trying to get their life straightened around, going to church, trying to get a new start, trying to figure things out, get the help they need. And again, I guess I'm trying to prepare some of you because I don't know all of your background, but you know, if you make that effort to say, I'm going to start going to church and I'm going to start learning the Bible and I'm going to be a better person. Yes, I've made my mistakes, but you know what? I want to do better and I want to get saved and I want to accept Jesus and I want to put my life on a better track so that my kids will have a better opportunity. And you would think everybody in your life would walk up to you and say, you know what? Good job. Good for you for doing that. You know what? According to the Bible, that's not what you're going to get. As a matter of fact, there will be people that will purposely try to trip you up, drag you back into that old life. I mean, you know what? Where they used to charge you for the dope, now they'll come by and give it to you for free. Come on, all of a sudden they've got plenty of time. Hey, and they're always calling you. Hey, you want to go bar hopping tonight? Hey, you want to come over? I've got some friends coming over. It's like they lay traps. They watch you trying to get to God and get to Jesus and trying to live a better life. And that old crowd just wants to reach up because you know what? If you do it and you're successful, all that does is shine a bright light on their life and their wickedness. And so I'm trying to help us, you know. I guess one of the things that still astounds me is the fact that there are people that work hard to try to keep other people who are trying to do right from doing right, but it's a fact. It's why you got to hang with the right crowd, young people. That's why sometimes you got to cut ties with some of those so-called friends that aren't really your friends. And you know, every time you're around them, come on, they try to drag you down. They try to tell you things that you shouldn't hear. They try to get you to talk in a way that you shouldn't talk. They get you to try to get you to look at things you shouldn't look at, go places you shouldn't go. You got to cut that crowd off. Okay? Because they're not your friends. Oh, we've been friends forever. Well, they're not your friends. You don't know what a friend is. A friend wants what's best for you. A friend wants you to succeed. A friend wants you to get to the Lord. A friend wants you to do better. That's who your friends are in life. And so, first of all, you know what? When you get knocked down, get up. Why? For the sake of the wicked. You know, think about the Apostle Paul. You know, I guess we could sit around and we could tell all kinds of things. I just opened it up. We could make all kinds of comments about the Apostle Paul and the impact he had and influence he's had in all of our lives and the way the Lord used him to write several books of the Bible and all those missionary journeys and all those preachers that he trained and ordained and the churches that he started. I mean, we could go on and on and on. He's one of my Bible heroes. Yes, but you know what? He used to be one of those wicked men, which gives me hope that Jesus can still save people and change people. But you know what? There was a young man by the name of Stephen, a deacon in a church, not even a preacher, a deacon in a church. He was given opportunity to testify to the Lord, and he stood up and he preached and testified, and they didn't like it. You know, come on, the wicked don't like it. And Paul, whose name was Saul at that time, Saul of Tarsus, they came and they laid their garments at Saul's feet right before they picked up stones and stoned Stephen to death. You know what? The Bible says that Stephen was being stoned. He looked up to heaven and he saw Jesus standing on the right. Come on, standing on the right hand of the Father. Most of the time you hear Jesus described as sitting beside the Father, or sitting on the right hand of God. But you know what? He was standing up that day. You know why? Young people, I want you to hear this. If you'll stand up for Jesus, Jesus will always stand up for you. By the way, who are you really trying to make happy anyway? I just got this thing where I feel like if Jesus is happy and the rest of the world is mad, well, whoop-de-doo. Because I can't keep the whole world happy. So I'm going to try to keep Jesus happy. If I keep Jesus happy, you know what? I think people that love Jesus will be happy. And people that don't love Jesus probably won't be happy. But I'm not going to let people control my life. I'm going to put my eyes on Jesus. And if I stand up for him, folks, he's always stood up for me. Think about that. You know what? Get back up. Get back up. Get back up. You're going to fall. You're going to fall. I've taken some pretty good falls in my life. One of the worst ones was I was trying to get a tree stand out of a tree. I'm going to go into all the details of it, but it was a super cold. I'd promised a guy by a certain day, he'd let me hunt his woods, but he said by a certain day in December, I want your stand out of there. And I realized all of a sudden it was that day and it was cold. I mean, zero, wind chill below zero. And I had to hike a couple miles back in there to get it. And I climb up in this tree and, you know, I take my bow. You know why? Because season's still in. If I'm going to pull a stand, I'm going to hunt it first. And I'm sitting up there freezing for about an hour. And I thought to myself, even the deer are smarter than you. You know, they aren't wandering around in this. They're hunkered down. So I finally just put my bow and my backpack down with a string. And then I get on one of the steps. I'm trying to undo the ratchet strap. And it's all frozen and iced over. And I can't get to it. So I take one foot like this, and I'm on a tree step, and I put my other foot on top of it like this so I can get around it. I got all my weight on one tree step, and I'm trying to unloose that thing, and all of a sudden that tree step snapped. And that stand was probably where the platform of it was probably about 22, 23 feet in the air, and I mean, I went, whew. There was about that much snow on the ground. Thank you, Jesus. Made a little bit cushioned. And you know, I'll say, well, what'd you do? You know, you think if you fall like that somehow, you know, as a guy especially, you know, if I fall, you know, I'm going to do some kind of in midair ninja move and, you know, Tarzan thing. I'll grab a vine. I'll grab this. You know what you do? You just hit the ground. That's what you do. You don't have time to do anything but boom. You know, that's. And I did see the ground coming, and I did bend my knees just as I hit. And then I went face first into the ground again. Snow that deep, thank goodness. And then rolled over on my side, and my legs twisted one way, and this leg's twisted, my arm's twisted, and you're just laying there. And, you know, the adrenaline's pumping, and you're like this. And all of a sudden, I'm thinking, okay, I'm alive, I'm breathing. Let's see if this leg works. And so I started with that leg, worked this leg, got up. I had my backpack on the ground where I'd lowered it, and I had a thermos of coffee, and I leaned there, and I started getting the shakes. You know when you get the adrenaline rush? So I get the coffee, I'll start sipping on it. And you say, preacher, why'd you fall? Because I told the guy that I was going to get the stand out on a certain day. Hey, was I trying to do the right thing? Yeah. Listen, and I still fell. Yeah. Hey, look right up here. I want to just help you. I mean, you're going to be trying to do the right thing sometimes and just have a bad day. You're going to be trying to accomplish something good and something's going to go terribly wrong. What are you going to do when you hit the ground? What'd you do, preacher? I sit down there and calmed down, sipped the coffee a little bit, did inventory, kind of busted my nose a little bit, had some blood, whatever, you know. But I'm sitting there thinking, thank you, God, that could have been so much worse, okay? So what'd you do? Well, what do you think I did? I got back and cried. Oh, my goodness. You know, this whole row right here is, it just seems like, you know, there's getting to be a gathering right there. Isn't it, Brother Nathan? Okay, that's why I had you sit there, so you can kind of watch that situation. But, oh, my goodness sakes. Lindsay, you stay back there, okay? Don't hang around. Don't hang around this crowd up here. Okay? They'll pull you down. If you're a guy, you know what I did? You know what I did? I got back up there and got my stand down. Why didn't you just quit? Why didn't you just cry? Amen. Come on, folks. What do you do, preacher? I've embarrassed myself. I've done something stupid. And, you know, it's one thing if you're doing it and nobody sees it, but sometimes you fall and everybody sees it. And then it's like, oh, man, the whole world knows. And, you know, and the devil can take this thing and build it up so big in your mind. And I can't go back there because I know that they've probably seen that and or they heard that and they heard. You know what? Stop. Stop. All that is wicked imaginations. All that is the devil taking something. Okay, he tripped you up. You messed up. Okay, you know what you do? Get back up. That's what you do. You get back up. I mean, I've spent my Christian life doing it. You know why? Because I try to do a lot for the Lord. Look right up here. I don't pat myself on the back. I'm saying study the life of Jerry Ross. I try to do a lot for the Lord. Guess what? The more you try to do, the more chances you have to fail or fall. But I've just decided I'm not going to let that stop me from trying the next thing for the Lord. I'm just not. Now, you got to get tough in this area of your life, okay? Because you know what? The naysayers are going to say what they're going to say. That's why, you know what? Just stay off social media, okay? Mostly stupid people hang out there, okay? All right? Don't let jerks ruin your day, all right? And just don't. People are going to say what they're going to say, and they're going to make up what they're going to make up, and they're going to exaggerate, and they're going to do whatever. I mean, Matthew. Is Matthew Harrison in here? Matthew. Did you tell me a story yesterday about that guy calling you? We might as well get to the bottom of this and find out which one of these young ladies are young. Oh, wait a minute. We want to have a public trial, so don't be giving them up, all right? Some guy in Shelburne finds out, gets Matthew's number, because he's her number. Okay, well, it was her number. All right, well, how do you get your number? Are you, like, giving your number out to strange guys or anything like that? You're not? All right. Man, all right. It's okay if you fail. You can get back up. You can get. Don't let that discourage you. Nobody knows about it, all right? But all of a sudden he gets a call at home. Are you at home? Okay, all right. And some guy in Shelburne, and he's all mad. You from Blessed Hope Baptist Church, and you drive one of those buses. Your teen girls, some of your teen girls over here knocking on doors telling people that if they do not attend your church, they're going to hell. Is that what he said? That's what he said. So I might as well figure out who it is, all right? Let's see. Who would do something like that? You know what that is? That is a lie. That is a lie. Jasmine, you weren't doing that, were you? I think it's a lie. There isn't anybody from this church in 49 years of knocking on doors ever stood on somebody's doorstep and told them if they don't go to Blessed Hope Baptist Church, they're going to hell. Now, one of the things I've just had to learn in life is I can't control stupid. You can't control stupid. And you're going to have people say things about you personally that's just that outlandish. And it's not true. And yet, this guy, if he called you, how many other people has he told? How much has he spread that around? Well, what do I do, preacher? What do I do? Just get up. Listen, I'm not going to let that kind of thing control what we do, how we do it, when we do it, why we do it. You know, I've watched guys close down ministries and back out things just because of a few negative naysayers. You might as well shut down every ministry you got, because no matter what you're trying to do for the Lord, there's going to be somebody. Listen, I don't know this guy and I don't know what's in his heart, but I know this, he's a liar. And I know who the father of all lies are. And I know that's wicked to lie against a church and wicked to lie against young ladies that are going door to door trying to pass out gospel tracts and tell people how they can go to heaven. And it's not by going to Blessed Hope Baptist Church. And nobody's ever said, you know, but you know, when he tells me that, I'm like, and I feel like the devil just wants to sit on my shoulder and he's, you know, and start discouragement and man alive and man, I need to go find this guy and I need to, listen, a guy like that, the more you talk to him, the more he's going to lie about you. He's already proved he's a liar. Now, what are you saying, preacher? I'm trying to get this, tell you a story that just happened and that I got to deal with around here from time to time, sadly. But I want you to take it into your life. You're going to have crazy people say crazy things that aren't true. So what are you going to do? Stop serving the Lord? Stop going soul winning? Stop running the bus route? Man alive. I mean, this part of the way the devil attacks. Come on. Read those last day sins. In the last days, perilous times shall come. One of the sins is false accusations. The devil's using it against all of us, everybody. So don't worry about it. Amen. Just stand back up, you know, stand back up. I was out weed eating our property several years ago. The girls were still little, several years ago. And I mowed our entire yard and I'm weed eating and We had cows at that time, so I looked out in the pasture, and there were some of those little cockerels that come up, and they spread everywhere, you know, and I said, they're just pretty small, so I said, I'm going to jump over the fence, and I'm going to go get those cockerels, and I'm just going to take the weed eater and get those cockerels. So I don't want to open the fence. I've got the weed eater in one hand, so I thought, well, I'll just climb over it. Well, we have an electric fence, and right at the gate, what I do is I took two poles and put them on either side of the gate so the electric fence goes here, up in the air, across, above, and down. That way, if we need to open the gate and drive in and out, not to undo it. Well, yeah, I'm explaining this to you, but I didn't remember that that was there. And so I'm literally straddling a metal fence, and I've got a metal weed eater, and I'm getting ready to go on the other side, and as I'm getting ready to jump, I swing it up over my head, and this metal weed eater is in contact with this electric fence, and I'm straddling a metal fence. And you know what? I've been shocked a few times by an electric fence, but I ain't never felt something like that before, man. I mean, I felt like I got hit by a bolt of lightning, and I scream like a girl. I drop the weed eater. I fall into the pasture, and right... I didn't cry. I don't cry when I fall. I get back up. That's what I do. Bunch of crybaby girls over here. And you know the first thing I did, you do when you do something like that? I look around everywhere. Looking at the neighbors, are the girls in the backyard? Is Cheryl got her camera out, you know? So what'd you do? Well, I just quit weed eating. I wouldn't weed eat anymore. I'm not mowing the grass. Obviously, God's not good to me, you know. Let's just sell the cows. Matter of fact, I'm not even having electricity. We're just going to turn off the... But I watch people overreact to something like that in their spiritual life and just turn everything off because of a moment of embarrassment, or they don't get it right. Or listen, don't let the devil do those things to you. Listen, part of falling down, or part of living the Christian life is falling down. And what you've got to predetermine is that you're going to get back up. Amen. And you know what? It's going to happen. It's not going to happen because you want it to happen. It's not going to happen because you planned for it to happen. It's going to happen from time to time. But you see, not only does the just man need to get up for the sake of the wicked, but the just man needs to get up for the sake of his own integrity. And this is what I want to kind of focus on just for last couple minutes here. You get back up for the sake of the wicked, but you get back up for the sake of your integrity. Proverbs chapter 20, verse number 7. We're still there in Proverbs. Look at verse 7. The just man walketh in his what?
Integrity.
Now, preacher, what does that mean? That means integrity. Let me explain that to you. A man's integrity is his code of honor. Boy, we need men to have a code of honor again. As a Christian, we allow the word of God to set our moral standards. We base our code of conduct or our code of honor upon the principles and precepts of the Bible. Okay, so this isn't a code of honor that I pulled out of the air for Jerry Ross. I go to the Bible and I say, God, what is right and what is wrong? What should I do and what should I not do? And I make that a code of honor in my life. I'm going to try to live to that place, and that is going to be my integrity. And you know what? A just man needs to have integrity. We need to be loyal to our code of honor, which we've gotten from the Word of God. We need to walk in our integrity. What does that mean? That means if the Bible calls something sin, I believe that it's sin. I don't care what the culture says. I don't care what's politically correct. If the Bible says something's right, then we're going to look at it as being right. The Bible says thou shalt not, then I'm going to not do that. That's my code of honor. If the Bible says thou shalt, then you know what? I need to do that. And I begin to live by this code of honor, and that is a measure of my integrity. That is the path that I walk, the code of honor that I hold myself to. Now, folks, listen to me. A man of integrity is concerned about being scripturally correct instead of politically correct. Amen. Truth is worth standing up for, even if it's out of style. Yeah. Even when it's unpopular. Always stand where God stands. He will vindicate. He will validate. He will give you the victory. Right may seem to be losing. Hey, Christians, right may seem to be losing. And wrong might seem to be winning sometimes. But you know what? God's already promised that he's going to stand with the righteous and bless the righteous. And he's going to take care of the wicked in his time. So don't get caught up in all of that. You know what? Just decide that you're going to get back up for the sake of your integrity. Now, what does that mean? That means as part of your code of honor, this ought to be part of your code of honor, your code of conduct. And you can settle it this morning and say, this is how I will live the rest of my life. One of the things that ought to be on there is this. Every day I'm going to try to do the right thing, knowing that eventually I will fall. But when I fall, I will get back up. And that just becomes a measure of my integrity. That's a part of my code of honor. I don't lay there wondering whether it's worth it or not. I don't lay there feeling sorry for myself. I don't try to do damage control and be worried about what everybody says or thinks. If I fall, if I fail, I want to get it right with my Heavenly Father. I want to get back up, dust myself off. And you know what? I'm going to keep going one foot in front of the other. Look at the rest of that verse. Why do I need to do this, preacher? Why is it so important? The just man walketh in his integrity. What's it say next? His children are blessed after him. And folks, listen to me. Come on, Mom. If you quit on God, you think those kids are going to follow God one of these days? Dads, if you quit on God, what's going to happen to those children, those grandchildren one of these days? Hey, there's people watching us. There's people watching us. Don't quit. I love this poem. I keep it where I can read it often. How about this? When things go wrong, as they sometimes will, when the road you're trudging seems all uphill, when the funds are low and the debts are high, when you want to smile but you have to sigh, when care is pressing you down a bit, rest if you must, but don't you quit. Life is odd with its twists and turns, as every one of us sometimes learns. And many a fellow turns about when he might have won had he stuck it out. Don't give up. Though the pace seems slow, you may succeed with another blow. Often the goal is nearer than it seems to a faint and faltering man. Often the struggler has given up when he might have captured the victor's cup. And he learned too late when the night came down how close he was to the golden crown. Listen, success is failure turned inside out. The silver tint of the clouds of doubt. When you never can tell how close you are, it may be near when it seems afar. So stick to the fight when you're hardest hit. It's when things seem worst that you must not quit. So you do it for the sake of the wicked. Don't give in. Don't become like them. You do it for the sake of your integrity. And you do it for the sake of those that are watching. Because the children are watching. One more verse. I love this. Proverbs 4 and verse number 18. And I want you to turn there. Proverbs 4:18. Preacher, why do I just keep going down that path of the just? When I've fallen seven times, why get up? This is why. But the path of the just is as the shining light that shineth more and more into the perfect day. Watch this, folks. My mom and dad got saved later on in life. They were 26. Before they received Christ as their Savior. Up to that point, you know what? I lived in a house where we didn't go to church and we didn't do a lot of the things we should do. And we did a lot of things we shouldn't do. We lived like the world. But you know what? When my mom and dad got saved, they got on a path called the path of the just. And you know what? It wasn't easy for them. There was so much to learn and so much to overcome. And yet they just kept putting one foot in front of the other. Say, preacher, did they fall? Sure they did. You know why? I know that because we all do. But you know what? When they did, they got back up. But you know, it just seemed like the farther they got down that path, the brighter that path began to shine. And when that path began to shine, it made it easier for other people to find the path. They blazed a trail for me and my brothers and my sister. They blazed a trail that could be easily found by their grandchildren and their great-grandchildren. And you know what? The closer they got to the end, the brighter the trail got. And if they would have quit halfway through, even if we'd have followed it for a while, would we have ever got to the finish line? I guess I'm looking at out and praying for that one of you that just may be discouraged and say, preacher, I'll be honest with you. The devil's just kind of ridden me pretty hard of late. And it seems like I have messed up and I mess up so much. And yeah, I'm gonna be true for preacher. The devil's whispered in my ear that you can't do it. You can't. And why don't you just give up? Why don't you just go back to the old ways in the old world? Hey, You tell him, you know what? You tell him to get back where he belongs. You know what you do? You put your eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ. If you've fallen, get back up. Make it right with the Lord. Get back up. One foot in front of the other. Listen to me. Get back up. Get back up. Get back up. Heavenly Father, thank you, Lord, for this encouraging portion of Scripture. And Lord, how many times has this preacher needed this verse? Lord, thank you for how patient you are with us. Lord, thank you that you're there not only to encourage us to get up, but to reach down and help us get up. Help brush us off. Help us get pointed back in the right direction. I pray if there's anyone here that's never received Jesus as their Savior. I remember mom and dad going to church lost. They knew something was missing. They knew they needed something. They didn't know they needed to be saved. Before they could get on the path of the just, they needed to become one of your children. There's someone here without Jesus as their Savior. I pray they'd be saved today, Lord. There may be those that have been saved and just going through a time where they're struggling. Lord, I pray, dear God, that you'd lift them up and help them. Encourage them with this message. Encourage them with this verse. May they take this verse and highlight it and draw a circle around it and put an arrow towards it and just find it every time they need it. Thank you again, Lord, for being patient with each and every one of us.